Today on The King is Coming.
God is the ultimate authority. He's the ultimate Supreme Court. He is the God of war, and He's the Lord of hosts, and He's going to come and do battle with His enemies. Jesus Christ says that war is coming. We'll talk about it next on The King is Coming.
As we look at the perilous times we're living in, are you prepared to be the disciple God has called you to be? With every passing day, we draw closer to the fulfillment of God's plan. The world is changing fast, but our call as followers of Christ remains the same. Be bold, stand firm, and remain unwavering in our faith. The King is Coming is privileged to offer 7 Marks of a Last Days Disciple, a transformative 7-part series that will open your eyes to what it means to be a true disciple in these final days. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, Paul warns there will be terrible times in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves, unholy, without love. But within these challenges lies our call to stand apart, equipped with faith and character that holds strong. Don't miss this essential resource. For any gift of $45 or more today, request your copy of 7 Marks of a Last Days Disciple. Call the number on your screen or visit thekingiscoming.com today. Strengthen your faith and prepare yourself to become a Last Days Disciple.
Well, we're in this study called Jesus and the End of the World, and we're basing this off my brand new book called The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, which is available here at The King is Coming. Listen, I want you to get a copy of this book because it really gives you some critical intel specifically on what the end of the world is going to be like according to Jesus of Nazareth. We saw last time that Christ says the very first thing that's going to happen on the earth is a sense of global deception that's really going to blanket the earth like a rainstorm coming in. It's just going to cover the earth in complete deception through a man called Antichrist. But Christ continues now his description of the apocalypse of these last 7 years of earth's official history in verse 6. He says in Matthew 24, 6, he says, "You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars." He says, "See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there'll be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pangs." So what is Christ talking about? What's he saying here? Well, again, we got to fast forward our minds past the age in which we're living in right now and get our mindset into the tribulation period. So the rapture has already taken place and the Antichrist has already risen upon the scene. And the Bible tells us, according to Revelation chapter 6, that right after Antichrist brings a sense of peace, all of a sudden the peace is going to be taken away. In fact, let's just go to Revelation for just a second in Revelation 6 and read those few verses here because it does help us understand this better. Revelation chapter 6 verse 3 says, "And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come,' and another a red horse went out, and to him who sat upon it, it was granted to take peace from the earth." This is one of the reasons why we know in verse 2 that peace is given, because in verse 4, peace is taken. It says to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. Now let's talk about that for a minute. You think about war and the history of war in our planet. Facts have been calculated in the last 3,400 years of human history, there have only been 268 years without war. That's only 8% of the last 3,400 years that's been without war. Over 1 billion people have died in wars, it's estimated. World War I, some 40 million people died. In World War II, somewhere from 60 to 85 million people have died. War obviously is a horrible thing that men foist upon one another. Only 7%, though, of the 1,763 wars that have been fought, just 7% have been fought because of religious reasons. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, religion's the cause of all these wars. Guess what? No, only 7% of the wars have been because of religious reasons. Other reasons have been because of invasions or because of protecting territories or revenge or, you know, taking over other countries or some just reason like we saw during World War II with a tyrant trying to take over the world. There have been many reasons why wars have been fought. But all that to say that there's been a lot of violence in the world. In fact, to find the origin of violence, we simply have to go back to the Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, we see the very first act of violence in the Bible. And it says that Cain rose up and he violently killed his brother. And in fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, the word that's used there of Cain killing Abel, it means a violent death. So he didn't choke him to death. It was something like he hit him over the head with a rock or cut his throat or something like that. It was something very, very violent. And so that's the first act of violence. You say, well, gosh, didn't the universe learn? Didn't humanity learn that, hey, we shouldn't do that to each other? Actually, no. When you go over to Genesis chapter 6, and we revisit the days of Noah. This is very interesting because the specific way that God describes the days of Noah gives us a clue as to what was going on during that generation. He says here in verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So here you've got an entire generation. They've rejected God. And now they have turned to violence. Why? Because they want what other people have. They don't like someone else, and they don't work their problems out over a meal at a table. They're going out and they're hurting people. They're robbing people. They're killing people. Over in verse 11, it says this. It says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." That means wars, my friend. Tribal wars, regional wars, even wars, one nation against the other. It says over here in verse 13, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth.'" You see, this was the apocalypse of the Old Testament. This was the end of the world, if you will, of the Old Testament. And right before the end of the world back then, there was a preponderance of wars and violence and conflict and battles, men killing one another, a lot of bloodshed. And God says that's one of the reasons why I had to come and destroy humanity, because they were going to kill each other off eventually. Well, Jesus now, he prescribes, or rather he predicts and prophesies that there's going to be the same kind of violence toward the end of the actual apocalypse at the end of the age here. And so we see that throughout Scripture. Now, here's what's very interesting. You say, well, wait a minute. Didn't God command war for the Israelites? He did. There is such thing as a just war. In fact, the Lord himself, 275 times in the Bible, is called the Lord of hosts. You say, what does that mean? Well, a host, that word there means a mustered army, or an army that's been gathered together to go do battle. So God is a God of righteous war. And as we'll see it at the end of this series, that Jesus Christ is also coming back. The king is coming to do war. He's coming to do battle against his enemies there. And so the Bible is filled with war. In fact, we've seen war in our lifetime. Right now, as we do these programs, there's regional wars that are going on in the world. There's the war in Ukraine that seems to be ongoing. There's the war in Israel that's going on in the south and in the north, and Iran and other nations are starting to weigh in on that. And that's very interesting because the Bible does talk about there's going to be another big war against Israel. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But as you get into the tribulation period, you say, well, what kind of wars are going to happen during that time? Well, here Jesus says it's going to be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So in other words, it's not just a neighborhood against a neighborhood or a tribe against a tribe. It's going to be whole nations. Well, what's that actually look like? We'll talk more about it when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. Actually, the Bible predicts many kinds of wars and conflict during this parenthesis of time we call the tribulation period. Let's look at some of them here. In fact, in chapter 6 and in verses 3 and 4 of Revelation, we see, as we've said in Matthew 24, there's going to be a wars against nations, one nation against another. And John predicts that and prophesies that in chapter 6 of Revelation. He says here, beginning in verse 5 here, he says, after the war comes, he says there's going to be a black horse, and he's going to have a pair of scales in his hand. And it says that there's going to be a quart of wheat for a denarius and a quart of three quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the oil and the wine. You say, what in the world does that mean? It means this. It means exactly what Jesus just said, that following war, there's going to be great famine. There's going to be great famine. In fact, even in the war in Ukraine right now, there's an incredible amount of famine that's going on. Well, that's just a regional war, just a tiny space. What happens when there's global war? There's going to be famine in many different places. And so the prices of food are going to rise 800%, 800% inflation on food during that time. And so it says here, do not harm the oil and the wine. Some people believe maybe that's because the wealthy will always have the oil. The wealthy will have wine, so they really won't be touched, just like the wealthy are not touched when there's an economic downturn. Others say, no, the oil and the wine are more staple food, so there will be just enough to survive. But there's going to be famine, as Christ predicted in Matthew 24. That's the war of the nations there. And in fact, the Bible says that there's going to be so much slaughter, we'll get to this in just a moment, that a significant portion of the earth's population is going to be wiped out in the early stages of the tribulation, during the seal judgments. Another kind of war that's going to go on is wars between angels and demons. Oh, this is very interesting. This is almost like some sort of science fiction movie. But in Revelation chapter 7, the Bible says that Satan is going to attempt another coup on heaven. And there's going to be a war in heaven. And there's going to be an angel that's going to take Satan and his demons, and he's going to defeat them, and he's going to cast them down to the earth. And so the good angels are going to defeat the bad angels. By the way, the good angels always defeat the bad angels, because Satan is not an omnipotent being. In other words, he doesn't have all power, so he has limited resources, and God has angels that are much stronger than him. Notice God sends his angels to do his wars. Sometimes God himself doesn't even have to fight them, because the angels do it for him. So there'll be angels and demons fighting. Next, there's going to be a war between demons and Satan against mankind. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 9. There are going to be these incredible demonic creatures that are going to come forth, and they're going to attack humanity. It says in chapter 9 that from the bottomless pit, out of this pit, there's going to be these locust-like creatures. And we don't have time to do a deep dive in studying them right now, but the whole point of them is that I believe these are going to be demonic locusts. They're going to be demons. These demon locusts have crowns like gold. Their faces are like the faces of men. Their hair is like the hair of women. This hideous creature. Just the sight of these demons alone will be enough to scare people to death, but they're going to go in torment. And by the way, this is a part of the judgments of God here. This is a part of the fifth trumpet judgment that God sends upon humanity. And listen, you know, these people at the same time, the Bible tells us, are worshiping demons. And so God just kind of lets whatever you sow, you reap kind of thing. And so these demons that you're worshiping, perhaps even these same demons are going to come back and torment the very people who are worshiping them. Scripture tells us there's going to be wars between Satan and Israel. In fact, after Satan is thrown down, chapter 12 of Revelation tells us, he's thrown down to the earth. It says he comes back He comes down the earth with a great wrath. Satan is infuriated because he knows, the Bible says, he has no longer a place in heaven. He can't go to heaven anymore and appear before God and accuse the brethren like he's been doing since his fall. He can't do that anymore. And so he has a fierce wrath. He's been defeated once again. He was defeated when God provided skins for Adam and Eve in the garden. He was defeated when Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He's going to be defeated here once again. So he has a great wrath. And the Bible says he immediately goes after the nation Israel. He goes after the Jewish people. And so there's going to be several attempts in Revelation 12 of Satan and Antichrist trying to annihilate the Jewish people. We'll talk about why he's doing that in a future episode. There's going to be also wars between Satan and the Antichrist and the tribulation saints. In other words, Satan and Antichrist are one side of the war, and the tribulation saints are the other side. And we know from Revelation chapter 6 that early on in the tribulation period, that there are going to be believers who are going to be killed. They're going to be destroyed. And we also know that that the mark of the beast is going to be a mandatory mark. And Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 tells us that these believers are going to be beheaded for their faith. And so Satan is going to declare all-out war against believers here. And then also the Bible tells us, this is all in Revelation, by the way, that there's going to be a war between Satan and the two witnesses of God. And these two witnesses, these two miracle-working witnesses, these men that are going to represent the law and the prophets, are going to be sent to the Jewish people to give them evidence of the Messiah and of the truth of the Word of God. They're going to be miracle-working men, and Satan is going to attack them, and eventually he's going to be able to overthrow these men and to kill them. And so there's this war that's going on between them. And then there's going to be war between Jesus and the nations. Again, I mentioned the second coming of Christ, Revelation 19, 19. Christ is coming back to do war. He's coming back to wage war, specifically, the Scripture tells us. So those are just some of the wars that are contained just inside this tribulation period. And then if you fast forward, say, any other wars left in there, Jeff? Yeah, there's one more war. There's a war in Revelation chapter 20. At the end of the millennial kingdom, the Bible says that Satan is going to deceive the nations, and they're going to gather on the plain around Jerusalem to try to one more time take down God, take down Israel, take down the believers. And the Bible says that fire comes down from heaven from God and destroys them all. So those are some of the wars. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 for a second. And Jesus now prophesies exactly what these wars are going to look like. Say, how bad is it going to be? I'll tell you next on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So we're talking about the wars that Christ spoke of, that he prophesied about in Matthew chapter 24. Now, there's one war we haven't really mentioned yet. One war, maybe it's on your mind. You say, hey, wait, what about this war that's mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39? And the Bible tells us in Ezekiel there's going to be a war between Israel and a group of allied nations. So who are these nations? Well, they're identified for us in Ezekiel chapter 38. All we have to do is look at their modern day equivalents. They're Russia, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and Turkey. So what do those nations have in common? Well, all of them, with the exception of Russia, are all Muslim nations. And some of these nations, specifically Turkey and Iran, have threatened to annihilate the Jewish people. In fact, right now, there's a war between Iran and And Israel and Russia even is supplying supplies to that war as well. So there's always the stage is already being set for that war there. But the Bible tells us that in the last days, in the latter days, twice it says that in Ezekiel 38, these nations are going to come down around Israel. They're going to surround Israel. Why? To wipe them off the planet. And Russia perhaps will be the leader in charge of that. But he's going to ally all these other Muslim nations that have already threatened to annihilate Israel. And they're going to try to attempt to take out Israel. Say, Jeff, when is this war going to take place? Well, we don't know exactly. Scripture doesn't pinpoint the timing of it. But it does tell us it's in the latter days. It says when Israel is living securely in the land, or Israel's living at peace in the land. This would put it somewhere around the time of the signing of the peace treaty between Antichrist and Israel. Now, there are other interpretations that place it at other places during the tribulation period. But I see this probably taking place sometime after the rapture and the signing of the peace treaty there with Israel, somewhere around there. But again, we don't know exactly when it's going to take place. But the Bible tells us that in multiple ways, God is going to show up and he's going to miraculously deliver the Israelites from these powerful nations, and they'll be annihilated completely. And it says they will spend the next 7 years burning the weapons. And so this is another war that hasn't happened yet. Well, let's go back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He says there are going to be wars and rumors of war. So it's not just the idea that wars are happening, but the ominous thought that there could be more wars that are coming. And Jesus says that's going to be ongoing throughout the first part of the tribulation period. Now, what's very interesting here is he says when we go over to Revelation, and we get a little bit more specificity here in this prophecy here. In Revelation chapter 6, this is what John writes. He's talking again about these very wars here. And he says here in verse 4 of Revelation 6, he says that there will be peace that will be taken from the earth that men may slay one another. And a great sword was given to him, this rider on the red horse. This word slay here pictures a violent death. It means to slaughter something or to butcher something. And so these are not just wars where people are just incinerated per se, but there's going to be at least a portion of these wars where people are going to have a whole lot of a bloodshed that's going to be shed. In fact, it goes on in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, and it tells us that a fourth of the earth's population will be destroyed as a result of these wars and the aftermath of these wars, of the famine and of the pestilence and the disease and that's going to take place after these wars. Listen, if that were to happen today, that would mean that 2 billion people would die on the planet. That's a lot of people, my friend. And that perhaps will be close to that number during Revelation. You say, well, will this be like perhaps a nuclear war? Well, it could be. I mean, Russia has close to 6,000 nukes. America has about 5,400 nukes. China, 350. France, United Kingdom, Pakistan, India, and also the Iran is on the verge of developing nuclear capabilities. They're very, very close to having the nuclear bomb. Of course, North Korea as well, other nations like that. So there's a lot of nuclear bombs in the world. Perhaps some nukes will be used in these wars, but we don't know exactly if that's going to happen or not. So wars are coming. So how should we respond to this? Look what Christ says back in chapter 24. He says this. He says in verse 6, see to it that you are not frightened. That you are not frightened. Well, Jesus, why in the world would I not be frightened in the tribulation? If you're a tribulation saint or a Jew during that time, why would I not be frightened? Well, let me give you a few reasons here. First of all, this word frightened is only used 3 times in the Greek in the whole New Testament. And every time it's used, it's in relationship to the tribulation period. So there's going to be a lot of fear going on in the tribulation period. He says, don't be frightened. Don't be disturbed. Let me give you 4 quick reasons why we should not be frightened about wars now and why these future saints should not be frightened about wars then. Number 1, it's a part of God's prophetic narrative. He says these things must take place. So don't fear, because it's all a part of the plan that God has prophesied. Secondly, these wars are necessary And these judgments are necessary to pave the way for the return of the Messiah King, Jesus Christ. These are pieces to the puzzle that God has put into place that form a greater picture of the second coming. Thirdly, because God is greater than war, we should not be afraid. Go to Psalm 46 sometime and read verses 1 through 10. It's a great exposition, a great telling of why the ancient Israelites shouldn't be afraid. Why? Because God is greater than war. And then finally, we should not be afraid because God is a sovereign God. The book of Daniel tells us that God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases us or pleases Himself. In Job 42, verse 2, it says that God's will and God's plans cannot be thwarted by humanity. And then I love what Isaiah chapter 40 says when Isaiah records, he's recording the actual words of God. God says, I'm the one who rises up kingdoms and brings kingdoms down. He says, all the rulers of the world are nothing to me. They're nothing to me. God is the ultimate authority. He's the ultimate Supreme Court. He is the God of war. And He's the Lord of hosts. And He's going to come and do battle with His enemies. And so that's the reason why we should not be afraid. God is in charge. And as we saw in a previous study we did together in Revelation chapter 4, God is in heaven, He is on His throne, and all is well. Heaven never presses the panic button. Heaven never dials 911. And because there's serenity in heaven, there should be serenity in our heart. In fact, one dear saint said this. She said, God's sovereignty is my serenity. So all these things are coming. These wars are coming. And Jesus says in Matthew 24 and verse 8, but all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pangs. There's more to come, Christ says. And we'll talk about what's coming on the next King is Coming. God bless. My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus Himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
What if you could take your worship to the next level? Would you be interested? In our series, The Essence of Worship, we discover the key elements that help us understand how to be a worshiper of God and how to connect with more intimacy with Jesus Christ.
For any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of this inspiring 7-part DVD set, The Essence of Worship. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you. In a world filled with uncertainty and fear, what kind of faith empowers us to stand strong? What kind of courage leads us to face the impossible with confidence? Imagine the faith of a leader guiding hundreds of thousands into an unknown land, or the unyielding trust that walks into a fiery furnace without fear. Join Jeff Kinley as he journeys through the lives of these extraordinary Old Testament heroes in our series, Courageous Faith, Living Boldly and Confidently in Fearful Times. To get your copy of this inspiring 8-part DVD set, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now.